Greetings, welcome to another episode. This week we got a little bit of everything, so let's get started with Jamaica We Stand.
Jamaica's move toward becoming a republic is more than a constitutional adjustment. It's a seismic shift in national identity and historical accountability. By tabling legislation to remove King Charles as head of state, the Jamaican government is signaling its intent to sever the final symbolic ties to British colonial rule. This is not just about replacing a monarch with a president. It's about reclaiming dignity, autonomy, and the right to self-determination. This transition aligns with the principles laid out in the United Nations Durban Declaration and Program of Action, DDPA, adopted in 2001 in South Africa. The DDPA calls for the full emancipation of people of African descent and recognizes the enduring impact of slavery, colonialism, and systemic racism. Jamaica's Republican push echoes this global call for justice, and by revisiting the 1962 technical report on the Back to Africa mission of 1961, the government is reactivating a long-dormant vision of repatriation and regional solidarity through CARICOM. Jamaica is not alone. Other Caribbean nations have already made this leap. Barbados became a republic in 2021. Dominica did so at independence in 1978. Guyana in 1970, and Trinidad and Tobago in 1976. Beyond the Caribbean, countries like India, South Africa, and Ireland have long removed colonial vestiges and redefined their governance structures. Even Rwanda, in a bold move, repealed all colonial laws in 2019, setting a precedent for legal decolonization. For the average Jamaican, this shift may not immediately change daily life, but over time, it could reshape civic consciousness. School curricula may begin to center Jamaican heroes rather than British royalty. National celebrations could take on deeper meaning, rooted in local history and struggle. Legal reforms may follow, including the replacement of the UK Privy Council with the Caribbean Court of Justice as Jamaica's final appellate court. These changes foster a sense of ownership over national destiny. But symbolism alone is not enough. True transformation requires economic justice, land reform, and reparative policies. The DDPA emphasizes that acknowledgement of historical wrongs must be paired with concrete action. Investments in education, healthcare, housing, and employment for marginalized communities. Jamaica's Republican move must be part of a broader reparatory justice agenda. For others affected by colonialism, Jamaica's example offers a blueprint. Nations can audit their constitutions, legal systems, and public symbols to identify remnants of colonial control. They can engage in truth-telling processes, support reparations commissions, and elevate indigenous and African descended voices in policymaking. Civil society, academia, and diaspora communities all have roles to play in this reckoning. Ultimately, Jamaica's journey toward republicanism is not just about cutting ties. It's about forging new ones. Ties to justice, to history, and to a future where sovereignty is not inherited from empire, but earned through struggle and affirmed by the people.
That is very comforting. Comforting news, something we can all benefit from, right? What's up next on the biological frontier?
In a stunning twist to what we thought was a fully mapped cellular landscape, scientists have discovered a previously unknown organelle inside human cells called the hemifusum. This structure, described as a kind of recycling center, plays a critical role in how cells sort, discard, and repurpose their internal cargo. It's a game changer, not just for cell biology, but for medicine, education, and how we understand disease. The hemifusum was uncovered using cryogenic electron tomography, cryo-ET. A cutting-edge imaging technique that freezes cells in time and allows researchers to view them in three dimensions at near atomic resolution. What they found was a membrane-bound organelle that acts like a loading dock for vesicles, tiny delivery trucks inside the cell. These vesicles transfer cargo at the hemifusum, which helps organize and manage cellular materials. When this process goes wrong, it may contribute to diseases like Hermansky-Pudlak syndrome, a rare genetic disorder that affects pigmentation, lung function, and blood clotting. For science classrooms across the country, this discovery is a wake-up call. It reminds us that biology is not static, it's evolving. Textbooks will need updating, and students will be introduced to the hemiphysium as part of the core curriculum. It's a chance to teach not just facts, but the process of discovery itself. Teachers can use this as a real-time example of how science works. Observation, experimentation, and the thrill of finding something truly new. It also opens the door to more interdisciplinary learning, combining biology with physics, chemistry, and data science to understand how imaging technologies like cryo-ET are revolutionizing research. For doctors and the medical field, the implications are profound. Understanding how hemiphysium's function could lead to new diagnostic tools and treatments for genetic diseases that stem from faulty cellular recycling. It may help explain why certain conditions resist treatment or why symptoms vary so widely. If hemiphysium's are involved in managing cellular waste and cargo, then targeting them could become a strategy for treating neurodegenerative diseases, immune disorders, and even cancer. It's not just about identifying a new structure. It's about unlocking a new pathway for medical intervention. This discovery also challenges the assumption that we've already found all the major components of the cell. It's a humbling reminder that even in the most studied systems, mysteries remain. The hemiphysium could be the first of many hidden structures waiting to be uncovered, each with its own role in maintaining cellular health. In short, the hemiphysium is more than a scientific curiosity. It's a symbol of possibility. It shows that the frontier of biology is still wide open, and that the next breakthrough might be hiding in plain sight, just waiting for the right lens to reveal it.
Yep. Yeah, happy 2025, I guess. All right, now elephants and barcodes.
The microscopic elephant isn't just a quirky headline. It's a symbol of a scientific milestone. For the first time, researchers have successfully 3D printed intricate structures, including a 10 micrometer long elephant and barcode-like patterns inside living human cells. This feat was accomplished using a technique called two-photon polymerization, which allows scientists to solidify a biocompatible resin inside cells with pinpoint laser precision. The elephant itself is largely symbolic, a demonstration of the technique's precision and creativity. It shows that scientists can now build complex shapes inside cells without altering their DNA. That's huge. It means we're entering an era where we can customize cells from the inside out, not just through genetic engineering, but through physical architecture. The purpose of this research is to open up new ways of interacting with cells. By printing tiny structures like barcodes, scientists can tag and track individual cells over time. This could revolutionize how we study disease progression, immune responses, and even cancer metastasis. Imagine being able to follow a single cell's journey through the body with a unique light signature emitted from a micro laser printed inside it. This is important because it shifts the paradigm of cellular engineering. Until now, most interventions involve modifying DNA or inserting particles that cells had to absorb. But this technique allows for direct customization of the cell's internal environment. Scientists could print mechanical levers to measure force, barriers to isolate organelles, or even drug delivery devices that release medication inside the cell at precise moments. For society, the implications are vast. In medicine, this could lead to smarter therapies, cells engineered to respond to disease in real time. In diagnostics, we might soon have cells that light up when they detect specific pathogens. In education, this breakthrough will reshape how biology is taught, emphasizing not just molecular biology, but also cellular architecture and engineering. Of course, the technique isn't perfect. Many cells still die during the process, and the structures are limited by the volume of the injected resin. But researchers are already exploring hydrogel-based photoresists that could spread more evenly and reduce toxicity. In short, the tiny elephant is a big deal. It's not just a novelty. It's a glimpse into the future of bioengineering, where cells become customizable platforms for healing, sensing, and discovery. And it reminds us that even the smallest breakthroughs can carry enormous weight.
Hey, why stop? Why stop there? Okay, so Bringing it back, though, a little bit, we're going to have some updates in mitochondrial replacement therapy.
The birth of 8 healthy babies in the UK using DNA from 3 people is a landmark moment in reproductive science and medical ethics. This technique, known as mitochondrial replacement therapy, MRT, was developed to prevent mothers from passing on rare and often fatal mitochondrial diseases to their children. These conditions, caused by mutations in the mitochondria, the cell's energy-producing structures, can lead to severe developmental delays, organ failure, and early death. The significance of this breakthrough lies in its ability to offer hope where none previously existed. For families with a history of mitochondrial disorders, traditional IVF and genetic screening often fall short. MRT provides a new pathway. Scientists extract the nuclear DNA from the mother's egg and insert it into a donor egg that has healthy mitochondria but has had its own nuclear DNA removed. The resulting embryo contains DNA from 3 individuals, the mother, the father, and the mitochondrial donor, but the donor's contribution is less than 1% of the total genetic makeup. The purpose of the article is to highlight the success of this experimental technique and its potential to reshape reproductive medicine. It also underscores the ethical and regulatory hurdles that come with such innovation. In the UK, each case must be approved by the Human Fertilization and Embryology Authority, and the procedure is still banned in countries like the United States due to concerns over heritable genetic modification. This is important because it expands the range of reproductive options for families facing devastating diagnoses. It also challenges long-held notions about genetic identity and parenthood. While the donor's DNA doesn't influence traits like appearance or personality, the idea of a 3-parent baby still raises questions about consent, lineage, and long-term health effects. For society, the implications are profound. On one hand, this technique could reduce the burden of genetic disease, improve quality of life, and lower healthcare costs. On the other, it forces us to confront ethical dilemmas. Should we alter embryos to prevent disease? Where do we draw the line between therapy and enhancement? And how do we ensure equitable access to such advanced treatments? Ultimately, this development is a triumph of science and compassion. It shows that with careful regulation and ethical oversight, we can use technology to alleviate suffering and empower families. But it also reminds us that progress must be paired with reflection, because the choices we make in the lab ripple far beyond the microscope.
Well, see? Yeah, y'all. So, yep. And until next time, when we meet at the crossroads. Peace.